You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
Hi, this is Dr. Bernadine Cruz, the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. When I graduated from veterinary school at UC Davis School of Veterinary Medicine, I thought my brain was going to explode with all the information that I learned. I also thought I was pretty smart at the time. Then came the reality check. We were told by the dean that in 10 years, 50% of all that we learned was going to be incorrect, and it was up to us to know which 50%. With the pace of discovery, it's mind-boggling how much information has been learned and how much we now know is wrong. So instead of that 10 years, it's probably down to 5. Veterinarians stay current in many different ways, reading journals, going to continuing education classes, which can occur at local, state, and national levels. I recently had the pleasure of attending the American Veterinary Medical Association's National Convention in Boston, Massachusetts. I toured the city. I visited the New England Aquarium. I listened to some great lectures and visited the exhibit hall. Found some intriguing new products and services that are going to be a major influence in how people and veterinarians are able to take care of those animals we share our lives with. What I'm going to do in the next couple of weeks is have some shows that have me interviewing these people at the American Veterinary Medical Association. I think you're going to find it fascinating, so I hope you come back for the next several weeks, and even after that, to learn various ways that you can be that best possible pet owner. So stay tuned, lots of great information to follow.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Amazing Pet Expos is coming to a city near you. Admission is always free, and your pet is welcome. Shopping, adoptions, free nail trims, discounted shots and microchipping, agility, a pet costume contest, and much more. Plus, meet the guys from Animal Planet's hit TV series Tank and Pit Boss. Online at AmazingPetExpos.com.
Bring your pets to the Pet Expo.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz, the Pet Doctor, and I've had the opportunity of going through the exhibit hall, and I came across something that was just mind-boggling. I've never heard of it before. I know it's a concern for, alas, too many of my clients that I'm seeing. So I'm chatting right now with Dr. Barbara Davis, and she's the CEO, President of Immunogenics. Tell us quickly, what is Immunogenics?
Well, Immunogenics is the first and only company that's personalizing the diagnosis and treatment for dogs with cancer.
How common is cancer?
Well, unfortunately, cancer is very common in dogs. About 1 out of 4 dogs over the age of 10 succumb to cancer. And we see, for example, in golden retrievers, near and dear to my heart, 300,000 cases a year of lymphoma overall in the United States.
I think people many times are surprised when I found a lump or a bump or we're doing some type of diagnostic and I have to call them and say, I have bad news. Your pet has cancer. And too many people are going, I never realized that pets can get cancer. Do they get the same type of cancers that we get?
They do. And we've taken what we've known from cancer in people, which is so much more studied and so much more advanced in treatment and diagnosis. We've taken what we've learned from the human population and now are applying that to our pet dogs with cancer.
So many times we've heard over the ages of you shouldn't have saccharin because that's going to cause cancer, or you shouldn't have this and that's going to induce cancers. Many times animals seem to be used as the guinea pig. They're given something to cause cancer. So spontaneously they have cancers that we get. And is there a translation of, so you're saying, yes, there is a translation of what we're learning in humans that's helping animals. Is it going both ways?
Absolutely. We just got back from an Institute of Medicine meeting in Washington, D.C., where the topic was comparative oncology and how we can translate what we learn in dogs about treating cancer back to people, as well as treating cancer in people and translating that back to dogs. So there is actually our government and very well-known cancer researchers in both fields are cross-talking now to advance our diagnosis and treatment.
And one of the hardest things when I tell a client that, all right, your pet has cancer, there's something that we can do. They know that Aunt Jane, when she had cancer, she felt terrible, she was vomiting all the time, her hair, you know, totally fell out. She had these horrible, horrible side effects, and they're going, I am not putting my pet through that. In general, how do pets react? Do they react the same, dogs reacting the same as people, or is there a difference?
Well, there's very similar reactions to some of the chemotherapies, radiation, the cyclophosphamides, the ones that really go after cell growth. Those can be toxic, but they can be managed as well, just like we can manage it in people. But part of what our test does is to be able to say there's targeted therapies, just like in people, so we can identify changes in the tumor that might say this therapy could be better and less toxic than our standard chemotherapies that we're using. Or we could say with this particular test that this therapy, while you might have side effects, the dog will have some side effects, but it can be very effective. Or we can also say this cancer is very bad and it may not respond to this standard types of therapies or other targeted therapies, and so that gives the clinician, you, more information to tell your owners, your clients, and then it also gives the pet owner more information to really make these hard decisions about whether I should treat, whether I just want two or three more months with my dog as happy as he could be, or whether, you know, we can really extend this lifespan and have my pet for a lot longer, and so I am willing to treat the dog for cancer. So it's a lot of options now, and we're very excited and that we can really transform how we do cancer treatment and diagnosis.
And that's so important, because if I knew it was going to work, okay, maybe we're going to have to go through some hell together for a period of time, but I know that it's going to extend that pet's lifespan for another year, 2 years, versus I've spent all of this time, money, my pet's been in despair, and it didn't do any good.
Right, right.
So this is brand new technology. If you can simplistically tell us, how does it work? Do you need a sample of the tissue? How do you do it?
Yeah, so that's good. So just like you would take a sample, a biopsy sample, or a sample of that tumor, if you suspected a mass and you suspected cancer, and you send it off to your histology or pathology laboratory, just like you do in human medicine, where you have a diagnosis of a biopsy sample, and you wanted more information. You wanted to make sure you had the right diagnosis for the right treatment. And so you just ask your laboratory to send Inogenics the sample, and in 3 days we would be able to tell you, based on the genomic profile, the genetics of that tumor, what kind of treatments could be available to you, what options you'd have, as well as what the specific type of cancer and the subtype of cancers, because that's sometimes hard for even a pathologist, and I'm a pathologist, to be absolutely specific and accurate on the cancers. So in human medicine, you have a lot of opportunities to further make a diagnosis of the cancer type. Breast cancer, we can stain for therapies, maybe some of your clients know about HER2 or EGFR, those kind of treatments for breast cancer.
And Jolie type of cancer.
Exactly, yes. We actually have that genetic test on within our assay because we know that that is an important pathway for cancer. So you can do a lot more in people. That's what we're now able to do in pets.
I mean, it is just amazing. It's very CSI-ish of what you can do. The turnaround time, 3 days. And it appears as though this is something that the general practitioner can do. I'm very fortunate being based in Southern California, have a couple of groups of board-certified oncologists in my area to choose from. But if you're in the middle of Montana, you might not have that available, but you have that diagnosis of cancer, you want to do something. So it's your general practitioner who can access. How do they do this? They access their regular lab?
Absolutely. So no change in their practice at all. And they send it off to their regular lab and then ask their lab to send us just a very small amount of tissue that we need to do this assay. And they can just send us that. And then we work directly with you, the veterinarian. If you want to refer the case to an oncologist, if you want us to work with the oncologist, we will. But ultimately, you know, we're responding to you. We want to make sure that the veterinarian who has the direct interaction with their client and their pet owner is armed with the knowledge that they need to provide the best care for their pet.
So you can direct a veterinarian as to what protocol, what dosaging, et cetera, to use?
Well, we probably wouldn't, we would recommend what kind of response and treatments that they could have, and if they did want to follow up with our oncologists and ask specific questions, we certainly would be available to help and counsel them.
And Dr. Davis, you were saying you're a pathologist. Give us a little bit about your background, too. And I think you came up with this technology?
Well, we've applied the technology from based on the human field as well. What was really key for us was to be able to use what a veterinarian will use every day in their practice and take advantage of that and make that a accurate genetic test out of a normal veterinary practice. My background, I graduated from the University of Pennsylvania, and I did a residency in pathology at North Carolina State University. I was 20 years at the NIH, National Institutes of Health. Then we did some nice research there, and then I moved to AstraZeneca and Millennium Pharmaceutical Company, so I would learn more about human medicine, and that's where I did a lot of my translational research. And then I moved to Tufts. I was a professor at the veterinary school at Tufts. And that's when I decided that our state of pathology and diagnosis and treatment for dogs with cancer and cats with cancer, we'll move into cats next. We really needed to be advanced, and with my background it just seemed natural. I knew Dr. Jerry Post, who has the largest oncology clinic in the United States and maybe the world, so we've partnered together to really advance this test both for the diagnostics as well as the therapies.
And Dr. Davis, you mentioned that Inogenix right now is for dogs going into cats.
Yes.
It will be coming, because I know I have three cats myself, one older. I know cancer is just way too common in older cats, the number one killer, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. When is that going to be available? Any idea?
Well, we're waiting on the sequencing, so we can look at specific genes in cats now that are sequenced, but we'd rather have the whole genome sequenced in cats, which is coming, but slow, so maybe your listeners can help push that along, so we'd like to go there next.
And the question, I don't know if you can answer this. Boy, this sounds fabulous. It's something, alas, my dog has cancer. I want to pursue further. How much?
Well, we think it's really economical when you're trying to make a decision about what to do Do you want to do treatment? Do you not want to do treatment? Can I get the right diagnosis by doing follow-up tests like flow cytometry and immunohistochemistry, which can be hundreds of dollars even before you have a diagnosis? And if you're thinking about treatment of thousands of dollars and you're trying to make a decision in that we're trying to get a set point, depending on how we can advance this, to, you know, around $300 to $500, somewhere in that area where we think that the pet owner can afford to help make that decision for the life of their pet.
So pet owners listening saying, my pet was just diagnosed with cancer, or gee, am I doing the right therapy? Where can they get more information? How can they direct their veterinarian to seek a treatment such as yours, service?
Well, thank you. So our website is inogenix.org. So
Bell Inogenix.
Yes, so I was just going to do that. INNOGENICS.org. So you can contact us through that. We have contact information and our phone number if you'd like to call. I'm happy to talk with everybody. 978-456-3179. And so those would be probably the best ways. Our email is also on the website, so you can contact us through the website.
So if you're driving and you can't write this all down right now, it'll be on our website, so you can go to Pet Life Radio, the Pet Doctor, and get all this contact information. Dr. Davis, thank you. This is just a really innovative, fabulous service. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, and thank all your listeners, because we really want to do something about cancer.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
We all love our pets, and when disaster strikes, we want to make sure they are safe. In an emergency situation, you have to be your pet's voice and have the correct information at hand for emergency personnel if your pet ever needs their help. The Pet Alert Emergency Information System was designed with and approved by firefighters as well as police to make sure that your pet is protected in case of an emergency. With it, you will have all the tools you need in order to keep your pet safe. The Pet Alert Emergency Information System is literally a lifeline to safety for your pet that provides all the right information in all the right places. Whether you experience a house fire, auto accident, medical emergency, natural or man-made disaster, don't let your pet be a victim. You need to be prepared. You are your pet's advocate, so don't let them down. Safeguard their lives with the Pet Alert Emergency Information System. Get yours today by visiting PetAlert.com.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Bernadine Cruz again with The Pet Doctor. Just finishing chatting right now with short memory Dr. Barbara Davis. And cancer, it's devastating, and here now with Inogenix, it's a way of finding out whether or not this cancer that your pet's been diagnosed with is going to respond to therapy. What's the prognosis? And then we go, okay, we'll spend that money having that testing done. And okay, there's something I can do. Oh my goodness, this is more than I can afford. I want to do it, but I don't think I can. I had the opportunity to also meet at the same time I met Dr. Davis, meet Dr. David Duchaman.
Just David.
David. So David Duchaman, not a veterinarian, CEO of Inogenix, and also you are involved with a foundation that really sounds marvelous because it's helping dogs, cats with cancer that the owners want to do something and they just have the financial deficit where they can't take care of it. So it's the Riedel and Cody Foundation. What is Riedel and Cody?
Well, Riedel is a dog of a client of ours who I partnered with to form Riedel and Cody Foundation. And Cody was probably one of the greatest dogs I've ever had in my entire life. Both of them passed from cancer around the same time, while my co-founder, Mark Tillinger, was also going through prostate cancer. So it was a very emotional time for us, and we decided that we wanted to do something to really honor these just truly amazing dogs. So we formed the foundation back in, it's probably 2002. And it's really grown out to be a very amazing organization with tremendous amount of support nationally.
And what do you do? What is the purpose of this foundation?
Well, the purpose of the foundation, there's a little bit of a history to this. So when my dog got cancer, I own a veterinary cancer center. So I was able to do everything possible for my dog. We did immunotherapy, chemotherapy, surgery, experimental therapy, all while maintaining a really high quality of life. And after she passed, my husband, Dr. Gerald Post, a recognized, nationally recognized veterinary oncologist, was consoling me and telling me how wonderful that I had the opportunity to do everything when most people can't afford to do anything. So I kind of decided at that moment that that was what I wanted to do to honor Cody. I wanted to be able to give people the opportunity to treat who didn't have the financial means to do so. And one of the things that there's a lot of companies, a lot of organizations that are doing this, but the one thing that really differentiates us from those organizations is most organizations will give you $100, $1,000 here and there. When you're trying to form an oncologic treatment for your pet, you really want to make sure you have the funds to do the full course of treatment. If you stop treating because you run out of money in that time period, you actually end up doing a lot of damage, end up developing resistance to chemotherapy, and then trying to find other agents at work that the process is diminished. So we wanted to be able to provide 100% care for their pet. So we dedicate $5,000 to every pet that we decide to treat, depending on the treatment modalities that they're using.
This is amazing. How does somebody qualify? How do they find out, where do they get in touch with someone to say, okay, my pet has cancer, I want to proceed, how do I do this, and I think it's wonderful and I want to donate. How do we go both ways?
Well, we have a very wonderful website. You can find that at riedelcody.com.
Spell Riedel Cody.
R-I-E-D-E-L, Cody, C-O-D-Y, fund, F-U-N-D.org.
Do they have to show a financial need for this?
Well, as you can imagine, or as you may not know, giving away money is always, probably the toughest thing that I've ever done. We get hundreds of applications, and with the limited funds that we currently have, we're only able to treat a few of those. And going through and qualifying them financially is the easy part. But choosing one of these pets with amazing stories, and some of them heart-wrenching, is absolutely the hardest part of making that decision. But there are definitely financial requirements. I think as of right now, it's you must make $50,000 or less. And there's other criteria that are really specific to the pets and to the cancer.
And if somebody says, this is marvelous, thank goodness I don't have a pet who has cancer, or I did have one, an oncologist helped me, my pet was able to live 2 years, 3 years longer, I want to give back, I want to help some other pet, how do I help?
Well, there's multiple ways you can help. Obviously, making a donation to the Riedel Cody Fund is always wonderful. And we try to, if you want to be recognized, we also can create that fund in, like, if you've lost a pet to cancer and you want to create a fund to help honor that pet, we can even customize that, our foundation, so that your pet gets recognition every time an animal's helped with those funds. And there's also ways of volunteering. By volunteering, you can help run one of our many events, or you can even sponsor a run or sponsor a dinner at your home. There's just so many ways. The best way to really get involved is to contact our executive director and get more information.
I'll have it on our website for the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. You were saying that your own dog went through chemotherapy, and I know that's something that people always are concerned with, of hair loss, vomiting, feeling poorly. Do we need our medical marijuana for our dogs? What was the situation for your particular pet? How did they handle it?
Well, Cody had malignant histiocytosis, which is one of the most aggressive cancers that dogs get. Usually, once there's metastasis, the animal lives 3 to 4 weeks. Because of everything we were able to do, she lived 9 months, and I would say probably 80% of that time was very, very high quality. There were times with some of the experimental therapy that she had a fever, and there was one day out of her two-week regimen for chemotherapy that she felt a little nauseous. But otherwise, the quality of life was fantastic, and most people didn't even know she had cancer.
And I think you had a story about a dog who was going through chemotherapy and was an agility dog?
Yes, this was an amazing dog that was halfway through her regiment, but was still competing in agility. By the end of her regiment, she had finished the finals and actually won. So we don't try to cure cancer like we do with people. We want our pets to have a high quality of life. And given their life expectancy, putting them through 6 months of chemotherapy at high doses doesn't make sense. So we really try to focus on the quality of medicine, or the quality of the animal's life. That comes first and foremost.
That's marvelous. Name of the organization again?
Riedel and Cody Fund.
You can find more information for going to our website. So, David, thank you. That was really very good, and I hope people do call, contribute. It's a great organization. Thank you.
Well, Dr. Cruz, thank you so much for having me on your show.
This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz, the pet doctor with Pet Life Radio. I'm at the American Veterinary Medical Association's National Convention in Boston, Massachusetts, having a fabulous time learning about all sorts of new, really innovative products that's going to help the pet owner help our pet. I have the opportunity right now to be chatting with Dr. Deidre Caramonte. She is, well, give us a little background, Deidre. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I was born and raised in New York State, and my love of animals brought me to my career of veterinary medicine. I am board certified in internal medicine, certified in rehabilitation and acupuncture as well.
As I was going through the exhibit hall, I came upon a product I had never seen before, and my daughter is with me, and she is an RN, and finding out that this is a product that started off with people, and I love translational medicine, where it's something that started in people, now being used in animals, and very different. I knew nothing about it. Tell me about the loop.
So the Assisi Loop is a wonderful, wonderful product to add to our arsenal to combat pain and healing. The technology was developed, and the early technology was developed in the 1970s and started as a bone growth stimulator. And the co-inventor of that technology perfected it over the years and came up with a very, what looks very simplistic, is actually an amazing tool. When you turn it on, it delivers a microcurrent, which can't be felt. It's non-thermal. But it promotes the calcium-calmodulin binding, which promotes nitric oxide, and that is the body's own inflammatory mediator. So the more that we can promote that, the better we're going to feel, the better our pets are going to feel, the faster they're going to heal.
So it started off, as I understand, being used in things like swollen limbs after breast surgery. So what are the indications? Why would a pet owner say, my pet needs the loop? Go to your veterinarian, because I know this is new. I had never heard about it before. So somebody comes to me and say, hey, doc, I heard about the loop. It's like, that's nice. What can it be used for?
So the FDA clearance work done in people is pretty amazing. They started out doing post-op mastectomy work and abdominal flap reconstruction for the surgery. And every woman that participated in the study had less pain. So they did pain scoring. The women took fewer pills, pain pills. They actually measured the amount of swelling and edema, and all the women had less. And then within that edematous fluid, they actually measured the inflammatory markers, and there were much less. So those women felt better. And it's pretty amazing for a technology that can't be felt. You know, it's non-invasive at all. They also did a study in arthritic knees in people at the Henry Ford Clinic, and within 3 days, people had a 60% reduction in pain, and that's pretty impressive, especially, you know, walking around these convention halls when your knees get sore, et cetera.
I think I might have to borrow this and put it on.
Yeah. And lastly, they did a decubital ulcer wounds on diabetic feet, so people with diabetes that have wounds, they were actually able to get those to heal. So going off of those three areas.
Those are huge areas and so divergent.
Absolutely, and we can do amazing things with this technology. So immediately for post-operative pain and swelling, this does really good, especially if your pet is, you know, unfortunately had a traumatic accident, bitten by another dog, if your dog undergoes surgery for, you know, something else, dentistries, a lot of discomfort in the mouth, etc. Also relating to the knee arthritis study in older dogs, so many of our pets have arthritis. And so many of them take non-steroidals, and they feel better, but we know that that is a commitment to, you know, checking liver enzymes, et cetera, taking care of the body that way. I love non-steroidals, don't get me wrong. But with the addition of this product to dogs' hips or knees or elbows, we've been able to actually reduce the amount of non-steroidals they've been on, so the animals kind of feel better.
So it's more of a multimodal. So you can still sometimes need the non-steroidals. You can use the loop. And then, for instance, in my own practice, we use a cold laser.
Yep.
So this can all be part of the same, along with rehabilitation, because you just can't sit there on your bum. You need to get up and move, too.
Absolutely. So rehab, I love it. I'm very passionate about it. And this absolutely can be an adjunct. It fits in really nicely. And so many veterinarians now own a laser. And my job is to tell them, you know what? Absolutely, the laser is a great modality. Use it. But then you send that owner home, and what's the owner going to do waiting for the next appointment for the laser? You send them home with this loop, which can only be prescribed by a veterinarian. The owner is involved in the management and the care of their pet at home, and the animal's not stressed at home, laying down when the pet's sleeping. You can put the loop on anywhere. And
describe how big it is. It almost looks like a medallion you'd wear around your neck. But how do you apply it? What do they do with this thing?
Our first loop was 7.5 inches round, and that can actually penetrate through tissues and bandages. Again, you can't feel it, but the lovely thing, if the dog or cat is sleeping on a bed, you can just slip it underneath the bed so it can actually reach tissue 5 inches above. So many cats that can treat, you know, almost their whole body, especially if they're sleeping nice and comfortably curled mm-hmm. up. Or you can lay it on top of them. What we suggest to owners, because they're kind of, you know, new technology, I have to go home, I have to stand there for the 15-minute treatment period, we suggest you start out at night when you're watching television, put your cat or dog on your lap, and just, you know, lay the loop on top of the pet.
Is it contraindicated if the pet's on your lap, you stick it on your lap, the pet's laying on top of that, is going to be a problem for the owner?
No, in fact, we have this wonderful story of a woman who was on disability. She had bilateral carpal tunnel, and she was treating her pet on her lap, and she, after a week, was, oh my goodness, my wrists have never felt so good in 20 years.
Fluffy and I both feel good.
Yeah. We came out with a smaller version, a 10-centimeter loop, because we wanted to target extremities. Some cat also, it fits, you can lay it right under their jaw if they're napping after dentistry, et cetera. I like it for equine eyes, for horse eyes, because no animal really likes to have eye drops put in so many times, and if we can speed up the healing, it's great. So the smaller loop is targeted for extremities, et cetera. It's both the same exact technology, and each loop comes with a guaranteed minimum of at least 150 treatments.
And then you just dispose of it after that?
Yes.
And this is something that you're only getting through your veterinarian, is that correct?
Absolutely. The veterinarian is the one dictating the treatment and keeping involved in what modalities that pet is receiving and how good the response is.
Are there contraindications? So, for instance, using cold laser, if there's cancer and I've just done a surgery, it's like, nope, I can't use it on that area, just in case there are these neoplastic cells, cancerous cells left behind. If a pet has cancer, can you use the loop?
Now remember, this actually was started in the post-mastectomy. All these women had breast cancer. So applying that principle, you know, we can absolutely use it around cancer, and not to cure the cancer, but to cure the inflammation and the pain around it. So we've had veterinarians that haven't been able to completely get rid of a tumor. They just debulk it, and they put the loop around it to increase the healing of the tissues around it and give some pain relief. So it's pretty amazing.
Are there any contraindications where you can't use it?
If the animal actually has a large metal implant, they can't. Metal will interfere with the signal. It just might not be as effective. But so far, we've tried to measure all the common hardware applications like the stifle surgery plates, etc., and it's been okay. So far, I haven't had a contraindication. I guess the only thing that I would mention is, because it does work on some of the same principles as laser therapy, they have done studies on timing of the nitric oxide release, is that you shouldn't use it in the same 2-hour period as laser therapy. You won't get an added benefit, so it's not doing as much.
So you take it home. You don't have to worry about driving back and forth to your veterinarian.
Right.
You can use it somewhat as you need it on a daily basis, or how often do you use it?
We like to start out with the chronic cases. We tell veterinarians that they should probably start prescribing it 4 times a day. And if we can get that animal within 48 hours feeling better and the owners notice it, they're going to be motivated, much more motivated to do it. But at that point, they can actually start tapering down. So many of our owners will just use it on a PRN basis. If a dog goes out and has a particularly, you know, rough hike in the woods, sometimes there's one owner that uses it when it rains because she knows her dog's going to be uncomfortable. But no, I love it.
So if you had a pet that needed it long term, you have your 150 treatments per loop. You then purchase another loop and you can just keep using it as you need it?
Absolutely, yep. And we guarantee a minimum of 150, but there are owners out there reporting many more than that. We can't promise that because of the fine-tuning of the signal inside. So we know that it's going to work for at least 150.
And it lets you know when it says, that's it, I'm done, yes. Time to throw me away.
Correct.
And now everyone's thinking, this is fabulous. This is non-painful. It's non-invasive. I get it through my veterinarian. I don't have to drive to my veterinarian. I can do this at home. It treats so many things. Maybe it treats my arthritis at the same time. It must be horribly expensive. What is the suggested retail price?
To the owner is $269.
That sounds marvelous.
It brings down the cost per treatment to about $1.75, and more and more pet insurances are reimbursing for it, so it will bring the cost down even less.
Fabulous. Sounds great. This is a wonderful product. The name of it again?
The Assisi Loop. And you can find more information on our website. We have, while we're gearing up our clinical trial program, we do have wonderful, wonderful case studies in small animal, large animal, exotics, aquatics, lions.
Aquatics. You can put this in water?
It was put in a bag in a large aquarium for, I'm going to have to remember what it was. It was either a shark or a...
Some swimming creature. All right.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, I never would have thought of that one.
I know.
Okay, I've been speaking right now with Dr. Deirdre Caramonti. This is interesting information. So if you're listening and you think this is something that might benefit my pet, go to your veterinarian, ask for the Assisi Loop.
Yes.
And they can find more information online. Thank
Absolutely.
You so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.